Let us worship today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And with that in mind, let's rise and raise our voices as we sing the call to worship, Worthy of Worship. It's in your hymnal, and it will also be on the screen. Stand.
Worthy of worship, worthy of worship.
Welcome all of us who worship together today. It is a beautiful day outside, and even though the weather is cool, it's warm in the Holy Spirit in here. So welcome to all of you. Especially welcome to any of you who may be visiting with us. We're always glad to have you with us. Hope you will find us a welcoming community and feel good after you've worshiped with us. We would ask that if you'd like, there are visitors' cards on the back of the pew, if you would be willing to fill out one of those. We're also would give us an opportunity to make a contact with you and let you know something else about our church. There also are in the back of the pews prayer cards. If you know of particular prayer needs, it can be anonymous or you can put a name on there, but we have people who pray all the time for those particular prayer needs, so feel free to use those cards if you would like. I also want to welcome Kristen back with us today. Kristen graduated last year and is in graduate school. And she's come to spend a few days with her, so we're always happy to have her with us. We don't have either of our three ministers with us today, but we know the scripture that says where two or three are gathered together, he is in our midst, and he is certainly in our midst. But he didn't leave us ministerless. We have a minister today, and I wanted to also welcome Dale Kane with us. Dale is Alamance County, from the southern part of the county. He has been a pastor and a music minister, and he currently teaches at Hallfields Middle School. So we welcome him to come with us to worship, and we will continue our worship.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Wrapped in light as with a garment, you stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot, and you ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they may not again cover the earth. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Praise the Lord. Will you pray with me? God of majesty and might, blow through this place like a mighty wind. Inspire us with your presence. Cover us with your love, that we might be your people, serving others with care and compassion. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of praise this morning is hymn number 495, Serve the Lord with Gladness. Will you stand together as we praise the Lord together this morning?
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Well, good morning, folks. Things are a little bit different this morning, but we are all in God's house to worship Him, so it doesn't matter who's here or who's leading as long as we're all praising. Another opportunity to praise that we have coming up is for the children's ministry team. We are hosting, I just looked over and saw Mike Wilburn, and welcome. It's good to see him back here. We are welcoming all of you to open your trunks to our children and not to stuff them in. So we have a lot of teachers here, and sometimes we'd like to do that, but we are going to stuff them with candy and treats. So our theme for this is superheroes. We're encouraging the children to be a superhero. We are all superhero parents, brothers, sisters in Christ, and we want you to be a superhero for the children and bring your trunk out. This is actually going to be on Halloween, which happens to be a Saturday, and That starts from 2 to 4. So if you would be here around a quarter till to open your trunk, you can decorate your trunk in any way you would like. Lights, furry things, crawly critter things, and just have some candy for the children. We'd like to fill up both parking lots if we could to give the children a lot of activity. We're not going to have a lot of activities on the inside. We are going to have light refreshments served from the family team. So if you would please sign up outside of Laura's door, we are welcoming you and your trunk. If you have two vehicles and you'd like to bring two vehicles and set up, we would love to have your vehicles. It's a great opportunity for the college students to pitch in, bring your friends over, dress up and entertain our children for a safe place for them to trick or treat. Thank you.
I'd like to invite all the kids down for children's time. We got at least one. If some youth would like to join Wesley so he does not feel alone, thank you, Ethan. That will be great. Oh, other youth. Yeah. We might have a crowd here. And I know the adults get as much out of this as the kids do, so you can keep your seats, okay? All right, thanks, guys, for coming down. You know, when you participate in something and you are the winner, what do you usually get? A gold medal, a ribbon, blue ribbons, candy, trophies. You get trophies, don't you? Aren't trophies cool? Because trophies signify what? That you are number one, right? That you came in first place or maybe second or third, and that you're really good at what you did because maybe you put a lot of time and effort into it, right? Well, James and John were two disciples, and they were brothers, and they were pretty interesting guys. And they cooked up this idea one day that there was only 12 disciples, and they thought that they were in the top two. You know what I mean? And they knew that Jesus didn't hand out gold medals, blue ribbons, or trophies. So they asked him for a favor. They came to him, and he said, "Jesus, can we ask you a favor?" And he said, "What do you want to ask me?" He said, "Well, when you come into your kingdom, can we sit on each side of you, one on the right and one on the left?" Now, this is a pretty important request because Jesus was what? King of kings and Lord of lords. So to be sitting on his left and right side were very important positions. And Jesus said, "Well, are you willing to suffer like I'm going to have to suffer?" And they both says, "Yeah, we can do that." And he said, "Yeah, you can suffer." He said, "But you've got to understand something." He says, "You've got to understand that it's not me who decides who's going to be on the right hand or left hand of God. It's God's decision." He said, "The most important thing for you to remember," and he had told them this before, "that the first shall be last and the last shall be first." And they didn't understand it, so he kind of spelled it out for them. And he said, "To be a leader among men in God's kingdom, you have to be a servant. And to be a leader, the best leader, the number one, you've got to be a servant of all." Now, it's kind of hard to be a servant of all, isn't it? Think about service. What is service? When you think of service, what is it? It's when you do something for somebody that they're not, what, able to do. So our acts of service as a church sometimes looks like this. We go to the homeless shelter and we help feed the homeless because they can't feed themselves. Or we may help people rake their leaves or mow their yard because they've had medical issues or they're elderly. Jesus came to be a servant for all because he did what for us? He died on a cross. He did something for us that none of us can do. None of us can forgive our own sins, right? But by dying on a cross for our sins and rising again, he paid for our sins. So he came to do that. So hopefully this kind of sunk in, and Jesus is like, it's not about being first and being a leader. It's about how much service you do. So think about this week as you go out. What can you do that's a service type thing? What can you do throughout your life that's a service thing? Because Jesus did the ultimate act of service that we couldn't do for ourselves. He saved us from our sins. Okay? Let's pray real quick. Jesus, help us to be a servant like you, to help others and to put ourselves beneath others so that we can see the needs and help out. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right.
Our offertory hymn is How Great Is Our God. If everyone would stand and sing with us. Father, how great you are, and you have called us to be your people. We thank you that we can be part of your family. Bind us together, Lord, in love for you and love for each other. Be with those who can't be with us today, and bring them safely back to us next week. And please bless the gifts that are offered to you today, for they come only back to you. And we pray that you'll bless each person giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
I looked for just a moment just to see if anybody else was going to step up, just to make sure that... will you pray with me, please? Father God, we do come this day to praise you. Lord, it's good to be here in your house. Lord, I know for myself it's good to see old friends and to see new friends, to see people that I've known for decades and for people that I've met today. Lord, and the great thing to know is that no matter how long we've known each other, Lord, we are family. That you have brought us here and you've united us to belong to each other because we belong to you. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for all of your blessings. Lord, you have blessed us far beyond beyond our even counting. Lord, we are grateful. And Lord, as we come into your presence, we are very aware of the fact that even on our best days, we aren't what we should be. Lord, in many days, we are not even our best days. So, Lord, we come today confessing our sins, realizing, Lord, that we do fail, that we do fall short of your standard. But, Lord, how grateful we are that we do have your promise that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and righteous, and you will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we are grateful that our forgiveness does not depend on our merit, but it depends on your faithfulness. And since you are perfectly faithful, that means our forgiveness is perfect. Lord, thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for your forgiveness. And so, Lord, we do stand before you today because you've allowed us into your presence and you've united us here with you. And Lord, we ask that you be with us. We ask that you guide us in this time of worship today. We ask that you guide us in the week ahead and throughout all of our days. Lord, that you use us to glorify your name, to proclaim your word, to share your love. And Lord, we pray not just for ourselves, but we pray for our brothers and sisters all over this world who are worshiping you today. Lord, we ask that you move in a powerful way in the life of everyone who knows you. And Lord, beyond that, we ask that you move in the lives of those who don't know you yet, that they will come to know you while they can. Lord, we ask that you move in the lives of the ill today. Lord, we especially want to ask that you bless this associate pastor here who is taken ill over the weekend. Lord, lift him up and heal him. Lord, we pray for our ministers who are away today that you'll keep them safe and protect them and bring them back. And Lord, we pray for this world that you will indeed move. Lord, it is such a blessed place and such a broken place. And Lord, we ask that you move, that you restore us, that you bring us to the day when your kingdom really will come on this earth and your will be done even as it is in heaven. Lord, let that day come. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't quite sure who was reading that scripture. Okay. Thank you for bearing with me. As I told Laura last night on the phone, I said, we will roll with it and it will all be good. I used to tell people on the night before when we would have rehearsals before weddings, I would say to them, one thing you can count on, something will go wrong. It always does. Don't worry about it. As long as neither one of you passes out and nobody runs out of the room screaming, you'll end up married, and everything else will be okay. So that's kind of how we are this morning. We're figuring out as we go, but it's all okay. Now let's look at our scripture, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, as is listed in the bulletin. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. That is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what was suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. When Laura called me last night to ask me if I could come and fill the pulpit this morning, I told her that I would be pleased to, and we talked a little bit about what the service was going to be like today. One of the questions I asked was, so how long are sermons usually at your church? How long do people usually preach? And she said, well, you can preach 10 minutes, you could preach 15 minutes, you could preach 20 minutes. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. But I will, let's do take a moment to look at God's word and to see how it applies to our lives. But before that, let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the chance to come and to share. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've already placed into our lives. Lord, we pray that you will help us to hear your word this morning. Lord, I know that these people did not come here today to listen to me. And I know that if I was just speaking here of my own words, Lord, I would have nothing to say that would be of value. But Lord, you have brought us. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak to each one of us. Lord, we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from the 19th chapter of the book of John. Probably a little unusual scripture passage to look at on this day, but we will share together. We're going to start at John chapter 19, reading from verses 25 on to verse 27. This is in the middle of the crucifixion narrative. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This was the most difficult day that had ever been. In the history of days, this was the hardest, the most challenging, the most difficult. It was a day that had been prophesied for generations. It was a day that the Old Testament prophets had talked about. It was a day, even though they didn't completely understand what they were referring. It was a day that goes even back to the story of the fall, when God spoke to the serpent and said, there's going to be someone coming who's going to crush your head, and you will bite him in the heel. And even before that, the scripture refers to the Lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world. So think about how far back that goes, this looking forward to this particular day. It always amazes me, it staggers my mind to think about how God knew that if he created this world, that we would break it. God knew that if he created people, that we would rebel against him. God knew that if he created people, the only way to fix the rebellion would be for his own son to die. And God decided it was worth it. God decided that you and I were worth it. And so even before he created the world, he knew this day was going to come when his son Jesus would hang on the cross. And indeed, this day was here. And so we see the Son of God hanging on the cross, suffering the physical pain of the nails and the beating, suffering the shame of being hung there for the world to see exposed, suffering the guilt of every sin that had ever been committed poured onto himself. Think about that. The one who had never known sin, the only one who had never felt any reason to be ashamed, the only one who had never known, even from the beginning of time and even before the beginning of time, the one who had never known a moment of separation from his Father. That one now was carrying all the sin of the world, hanging there on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying. And as he's hanging there on the cross, Satan and all of his forces had been abusing, had been throwing everything they could at him. You can just hear it in the words that are coming up there. The people were saying, well, he saved others, let him save himself. Well, come on down from the cross if you are who you say you are, and we'll believe in you. You know, the truth is, when they were saying he saved others, he can't save himself, they meant that as shame. But they were actually speaking truth. If he saved himself, he would not have been able to save others. But yet, so he suffered the pain of the physical and the shame and the guilt of the world and the abuse of all of these others. Jesus suffered as he was there on the cross. And yet, while he was suffering on the cross there, what did he do? He looked out. And he saw his mother there. And he was touched by that. And he intervened. One thing I want you to think about, and we're really going to look at this story this morning, at these couple of verses, from three different perspectives. We're going to look at it from the perspective of Jesus. We're going to look at it from the perspective of Mary. And we're going to look at it from the perspective of John, the three main characters in these couple of verses. And we're going to see that each one of them has something to teach us about facing challenges. And the thing that we learn from Jesus as he's hanging there on the cross and suffering and bleeding and dying with this weight of guilt upon himself, he looks out and he sees his mother and he intervenes. There's a lesson there for us. There's a lesson there for us. Have you ever thought, even for a moment in the back of your mind, have you ever thought, well, I've got this problem going on right now, but I can deal with it. I'll take care of it. I don't need to bother God with this one. Have you ever thought that? I'll confess, that thought has occurred to me from time to time. Yeah, I'm not going to bother God with this one. I'll take care of this one myself. Or God's got other things to do instead of worrying about this little problem. Don't let yourself think that. Don't let yourself think that. Because if in the middle of this most crucial moment in history, if Jesus could stop and see the need of his mother and intervene, God is never too busy to deal with your challenge. God is never too busy to take care of you. Indeed, that's what he wants to do. That's what he lives to do. And the times when we decide, oh, I'll take care of this one myself. I'm not going to bother God with this one. He's got other fish to fry. He's got other things that he could be doing instead of taking care of this little problem of mine. I guarantee you from personal experience, that's the time when we get in trouble. When we decide to handle things ourselves. When we decide that God is too busy and I'm going to do what seems right to me on this one. That's the moment when we set ourselves up for failure. God is never too busy to listen. God is never too busy to care. God is never too busy to intervene. Just as he did in the case of his mother, so he does for us. So when you think about, when you read these few verses, and when you think about Jesus on the cross, the lesson for you to take from his side of the story on this one is that he will intervene, that he does love, that he does care, that he wants to help. Don't let that go. I've been dealing with some struggles lately, as has my family. Both of my wife's parents have been dealing with dementia for several years. We lost my wife's father last year, and her mother, now hospice, is getting involved. And it's a difficult time. And the thing that I'm being forced to do in this time is because I have my own thoughts and my own feelings, and as a family, we have our own issues to work through as we deal with this. But yet, realizing that we don't need to deal with it alone, that we shouldn't deal with it alone, that indeed we can't deal with it alone, but instead we need to turn to God for help, as we all do. I'll encourage you this week, if something comes up, take the time. Let it go. Look to God and ask Him to walk with you and to help you through this. Oh, it does make a difference. Now let's look for a moment at this story from the perspective of Mary, the mother. On this hardest day that has ever existed, this moment that the world has been moving towards since the beginning of the world and even before that, on this particular day, Mary is there watching her son suffer and die on the cross. Now, they say that the hardest thing you can do is to lose a child. And I know from personal experience it is. They don't lie when they say that. It is a horrible thing to have to walk through. But beyond that, watching your child suffer the most excruciating death through the most horrible means of execution that's ever been established, and to stand there and watch it happen, knowing there's nothing you can do about it. What Mary must have been feeling that day. Now, the prophet Simeon had told her when she and Joseph took Jesus to the temple on that eighth day of his life to dedicate him. The prophet told her that about what's going to happen. And, you know, that old saint of God said, well, Lord, you've promised me that before I died, you were going to let me see the Messiah. And Lord, now you've let me see him. So now I can go home with you. Lord, now you can let me depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon said to Mary on that day, a sword's going to pierce your own soul. Telling Mary this is going to happen. And it did. On that day, a sword was piercing her soul as she dealt with watching her son suffer and die this horrible death, knowing that he didn't deserve it. And maybe not even completely understanding why it would happen. And yet she was there, looking to Jesus. And you know, the amazing thing about this, as she's standing there looking at Jesus, watching her son die this horrible, horrible death. You know, Mary, this was difficult for Mary for lots of reasons. You know, watching him die, seeing what he was going through. And she obviously would have had questions herself. What's going to happen to me now? I mean, that would be a very normal thing to think. Okay, by this point, we would assume at this point that Joseph has passed on, and that she would have been depending on her firstborn son to provide for her, to take care of her for the rest of her life, and now he's gone. So she could, or he's going, and so she could be thinking, what's going to happen to me now? That would be a very human thought. We don't see any thought that she actually thought of that. It would be natural to think that, but we don't see any thought, any indication there that she actually thought it. I don't know if it's that there was just a matter of trust, or if it was simply that she was focused on Jesus more than she was focused on herself and her own needs. But we do see her looking at Jesus during this time. She may not have known where she was going to sleep that night. She may not have known who was going to provide for her for the rest of her life, but it didn't matter. What mattered was being there with Jesus while he was dying. There's a lesson in that for us too. It is easy. Oh, it is so, so incredibly easy for us to get wrapped up in our own problems. It is so easy for us to see what our problems are and not see anything else. That is very human for us to do that. But I think what we can learn from Mary and the challenges that we face here is that it's much better if we look to Jesus than if we focus on the problems. Again, that's something that I have to stand before you today and confess. That has been an issue I have been dealing with for a couple of years now, is being so overwhelmed sometimes with the issues and with the problems that I'd simply look at it and say, God, I don't think I can make it anymore. I don't think I can make it through another day of this. And I'm just now starting to realize that the issues and the things that have been weighing me down so much, the reason they have been weighing me down is not because they were serious, although they were, but the reason they were weighing me down so much is because I have been focused on them rather than on God. Oh, we must be careful about that. Not that we ignore our problems and that we choose to neglect them, but simply that we look to Jesus and trust. Is trust hard for you? It is for me, because I'm used to wanting to fix my own problems and take care of my own issues. This thing of just saying, okay, God, I can't do this myself anymore. I can't do this on my own. Can you take this one? And I suspect God's been sitting there waiting on me to get to that point this whole time. And I can almost hear God saying, well, of course I can take this one. That's what I've been trying to get you to say for 2 years now. Of course I can do this. I can take care of this if you'll just let me. Mary was focused on her son hanging there on the cross. And she didn't even have to ask him, Jesus, who's going to take care of me now? Jesus, what's going to happen to me now? She didn't even have to ask. Because he, even though he was hanging there, he loved, he cared, and he intervened. And he said to John, or he said to her rather, dear woman, here's your son. He's going to take care of you. I got this. You're okay. So as we look at these verses, we can see, as we look at the story from Jesus' perspective, we see that Jesus is never too busy to take care of us. That he always cares, he always loves, and he's always ready to intervene. From Mary's perspective, we see, okay, maybe we should be looking less at our problems and more at Jesus. Trusting more, worrying less, believing and allowing him to work. There's one more perspective. Because we see John there, standing nearby. Isn't that interesting? John is standing there, the disciple whom Jesus loved, standing nearby. Where were the other disciples? We don't know. They had run. They headed for the hills, but not John. John was there with Jesus. John was standing close by. To use a term that we would think of now, I think John was Jesus' best friend. Because it always refers to John as being the one that Jesus loved, that special relationship that he had with John. There's a song that was that came out probably, late 80s, so it's a little old now for some of us. But it was by Wayne Watson, and he said, I want to be the kind of friend that Jesus could call if he had a telephone at the end of the day just to talk about nothing. I don't know that Jesus would ever just talk about nothing, but if he could, he wanted to be that kind of friend, and so should we. Be that kind of friend that Jesus could just hang out with. John was that kind of friend. And so it's interesting that John was standing there, and Jesus just looked at John and said, here's your mama. Take care of mama for me. Notice that Jesus did not ask John to do it. Don't be surprised if occasionally God shows up in your life and says, do this, and doesn't really ask you for your opinion about it. God is not always in the habit of asking us what we want to do.
That's okay. He's God. We're not. What we would want to do is probably not what he would have in mind. He said to John, take care of Mama. He didn't ask John's opinion about it. The other thing he did not do, he did not have to get all authoritative and just say, I command thee in the name of God to take care of my mother. It wasn't necessary. He just said, take care of Mama. Here's your mother. And John did it. Was this in John's plan for this day? Probably not. If you remember from the children's sermon a few minutes ago, what was John's vision for his life? What John wanted for his life was to be right beside Jesus as Jesus was on the throne. John's thinking about exaltation and is thinking about being number one. That's the vision that John has, is that John has this vision of power and might and glory. And what does God say to him? Take care of Mama. Sometimes the ministries that God places in our path are not the ministries that we're expecting. It's okay. The point is not to be just all focused on doing what we think we are supposed to be doing, but the importance is to be available, to be standing there listening, so that when he says, take care of Mama, we're in the right place to be able to do it. My life has not turned out the way I thought it would. How many of you can say that? Your life has not turned out the way you thought it would. Okay, I'm 55 years old. Almost 55. When I was in my teens and early 20s, if you had told me I would be teaching at a middle school in Mebane, North Carolina, I would have thought you were out of your mind. I would have said, what? I'm going to be teaching computers in middle. What are computers? You know, this is back in the early 80s. We didn't have computers. You know, I tell my kids that I thought I was in pretty hot stuff because I was typing on an electric typewriter and keyboarding. We didn't have any clue about computers. I had no idea that I was going to be teaching. And although I was in the ministry for 14-ish years, and that's really what I had planned on my career being. When I was in high school, when I was in college, you asked me what I was going to do. I was going to be a minister. I absolutely believe God had called me into ministry. I wasn't really expecting the ministry to last 14 years instead of a career. Although even since I left the full-time pastorate and went into teaching, God has still opened up lots of opportunities for me to minister, to use the gifts that he's given. Hence, I'm standing here this morning. I was not expecting last night when I was watching Alabama beat up on Texas A&M, and very happy about the score, by the way. I was not expecting the phone to ring and to ask me to be standing in your pulpit this morning. But as I told Laura, it's okay. I am very pleased to have the opportunity to share, to have the opportunity to use the gift that God has given me. It is so important, friends and neighbors, that, and this is what we can learn from John in this story, is that we need to be available. We need to be standing close. Close enough to hear at those opportunities, because they will come along. They will come along more frequently than you can believe. More frequently than you can imagine, if you are standing available and ready. So when Jesus says, take care of Mama, you can do it. So let's go back and review. We've looked at this story from three different people today, from three different perspectives. From the perspective of Jesus, what have we learned? We learned that God is never too busy. And so we can, and we should, and indeed we must, take the challenges that we face to him and allow him to intervene, because that's what he wants to do. From the perspective of Mary, we've learned that, yes, we will face issues, and yes, we may know they're coming. They're still not going to be fun, but rather than focusing on the problems and letting them overwhelm us, we need to be watching Jesus. knowing that he does love us and that he does want to intervene and that he will help when we allow him. And then the third thing, from John's perspective, we learn that we need to be in the right place, that we need to be standing close, that we need to be available, and not just to do the things that we have in our vision that need to be done, but we need to be ready for God to come out of left field and just say, go take care of Mama. I know you want to do this. I want you to do that. Do that first, and we'll talk about this later. We need to be available. So this morning, again, one of the things of being here at short notice, standing with, there are some of you I have known for decades, and there are some of you, today's the first time I've seen your face. So I don't know the challenges that you're facing. But I can tell from looking at some of the faces and from some of the expressions that I've seen that some of us are going through some stuff. That we may have challenges that we are facing right now. And friend, if you're not, it won't be long because we live in a world that is broken. And challenges do come our way. When they do, trust God to take care. Keep your eyes on Him. Be available when He calls you to intervene. Let's pray. Father God, we do pray that you will indeed help us in the challenges, whether we are facing them right now or whether we're just coming out of one or whether there's one standing in front of us. Lord, we do pray that you will help us to remember your word, to remember the characters in the story and to see how they apply to our lives. Lord, help us indeed to trust your willingness to help. Help us to keep our eyes on you rather than on our issues. And Lord, when you call us to be the help that someone else needs, Lord, help us to be available and to be willing to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when you get down to it, all of what we're talking about this morning is really wrapped up in this, the thought of the song that we're going to sing as our hymn of response. We're called to be God's people. And that's it. We are called to be God's people. And being God's people means we face things. Being God's people means we trust. Being God's people means we focus on Him. Being God's people means we are available to help others who need it. So we are indeed called to be God's people. I'm going to ask you to stand and sing this with us. And if God is leading you at some point to respond, whether it's to come and pray, whether it's to bow your head at your seat and simply talk to God, if you have anything that you need to come and share with me, I know you don't know me from Adam, but I'll still pray with you if you'd like. Come and pray. And let's do sing this together.
We are called to be God's people, showing by our lives His grace. One in heart and one in spirit, sign of hope for all the race. Let us show how He has changed us and remade us as His own. Let us share our life together and
Thank you for being here today. Thank you for sharing each other's love, and thank you for being so welcoming to me. It's a little scary sometimes to walk into a church where you don't know. And, of course, I've had the blessing of realizing as I've got in here that I've known more people here than I thought I did. But it's thank you for being welcoming. Go and share that welcoming spirit with others this week. Let them know that they are indeed loved by God and that they're loved by you as well. Will you pray with me? Lord, send us out now to do your will. Even as you've allowed us here today to worship you, Lord, let us continue that worship as we leave. Let our worship take the form of acts of service and love. Lord, help us to indeed love this week. Help us, Lord, to share you with the people that we face. And Lord, until we're back together again, whether it's here in this place or in your kingdom, Lord, use us to glorify your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.